It's time for the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap, presented by Ohio Family Realty. Every week, WEL's Tim Alcorn and the Chronicle-Telegram's Sean Bennett talk wrestling. It's brought to you by Cobos Insurance Center, your Grange independent agents. Ohio Family Realty, their number one goal is to put your family first. Eric Burnett Trained Wrestling, providing elite training for the elite-minded athlete. And by Smitty's, on East Bridge Street across from the Illyria Post Office. We'll recap the high school wrestling coming up on WEOL.
Good Thursday evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Cobos Insurance Center Thursday Wrestling Recap, presented by Ohio Family Realty. Tim Alcorn, along with Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram. You know the story by now. Each and every Thursday night at this time, Sean and I get together to take a look at high school wrestling in Lorain County and across Northeast Ohio. And now is when the fun really begins, as we start to talk about tournaments and some of the great things that are going to be happening on the mats, not only here in the week ahead, but in the next couple of weeks down the line. Sean, as always, great to have you in the studios of AM 930 WEOL, and certainly we're going to be looking back in our next segment and looking forward in segment number two. In fact, Brad Bourneville will join us in that second segment, but as always on a Thursday, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those weird situations this year because of scheduling, they kind of pushed the state tournament back a week. So they've kind of thinned out all the conference tournaments. So we've had a couple events here, a couple events there. They're now bunched up on back-to-back weekends as they've been in the past. But it's kind of nice because at that time I get to go out and see some tournaments maybe I don't get to see sometimes because, you know, there's three or four conference tournaments all going at once. I can go out and kind of see some different things this year, so I'm kind of happy about it.
And I mentioned earlier during our second segment tonight, we'll have Brad Bourneville. And, of course, Brad, as is known to many, really gets out there and covers the wrestling beat like yourself. So we'll have a pretty interesting conversation with some of the things that he's been able to see.
Yeah, and Brad, he for years now, he's covered events for us, he's the main wrestling writer for our sister paper, the Medina Gazette. And he does a lot of stuff down at the state tournament for us as well. So he knows our area, which is nice. But you're right, he's written for Akron Beacon Journal, the Plain Dealer. He knows Ohio wrestling as a whole. So that's nice. He's a very good source of information. And he can kind of relate to both our area wrestlers and some of the competitors they'll be facing.
And by the way, speaking of knowing Ohio wrestling, I don't know about you. I got a lot of feedback last week when we had Josh Lowe on. Boy, I really got some really cool comments about the depth of knowledge that he had as far as Ohio wrestling is concerned.
Yeah, I'm a little spoiled because I talk to Josh all the time and interact with him on email, text, stuff like that, and social media, and I've known him for years, so it's not as big of a wow factor for me anymore, but even still, sometimes when he gets rolling, as he did on the show last week, it's kind of like your jaw slowly, unconsciously drops open, and you find yourself like, wow, just this guy really knows his stuff.
And we can't confirm this. We didn't have a video camera on Josh, but you were saying once we finished up the show, in all likelihood, he was doing that right off the top of his head. He just has all of this wrestling knowledge. It was amazing.
Yeah, and he's amazing because he can, you can ask him about a match, an 8-year-old match at a tournament, like a semifinal, and he can probably break down for you move by move how the match was scored, things like that. You watch him down at the state tournament. I don't know if you've been down to the wrestling state tournament or not, but they have 10 mats laid out on the Value City Arena floor. He watches all 10 matches simultaneously. I mean, you can see him kind of looking down at, like, mat number one and say, hey, Josh, what's going on at mat 10 on the other side of the arena? And he will tell you what the score is and how they scored it. Without even having his head in that direction. It's amazing.
That is really amazing. So, again, we're talking about Josh Lowe, who was with us last week. If you didn't have a chance to hear it, it was really good. And you can follow Josh, intermatwrestle.com.
Yeah, and we'll probably talk a little bit about him, too, because Saturday night he emailed me his annual state tournament predictions report. I kind of brought some of that information as well, and that's kind of taken over for the famed Brakeman report that wrestlers, wrestling coaches, wrestling fans love to read at this time every year. And he's got a full breakdown, a almost 70-page breakdown of the state and what to expect this year.
Wow, that's very cool. So, again, we'll take a look at that report in our second segment tonight. Right now we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll have a look at what happened on the mats last weekend. So stay with us. It's our weekly wrestling recap. It's the Cobos Insurance Center Thursday Wrestling Show presented by Ohio Family Realty. Glad to bring it to you each and every Thursday night right here on AM 930 WEOL. You can listen on your phone. Download that WEOL mobile app. Or you can also listen online. Dial in via the internet at WEOL.com. We welcome you back to our Thursday Wrestling Recap, presented by the Cobos Insurance Center and Ohio Family Realty. Tim Elkhorn from AM 930 WEOL, Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram. We do this each and every Thursday night right here on AM 930 WEOL. And again, a great big thank you to all of our sponsors and our title sponsor, the Cobos Insurance Center, and our presenting sponsor, Ohio Family Realty. Well, Sean, as we always do during this segment, a quick look back to action on the mats last weekend. What jumps out at you as far as what transpired last weekend?
Well, we had one conference tournament last weekend, and that was the Great Lakes Conference, and thankfully it was right here in Lorain County. O'Leary Catholic hosted that. They've hosted actually both of the Great Lake Conference tournaments since the group came into existence a couple years ago. O'Leary Catholic, with a very short roster, I think they've only got like half the weights filled out of the 14 weights right now, still finished with four placers, finished fourth out of the seven teams, three champions, and all three of those champions were returning champions, won last year as well. So it's good to see them come out with, some pretty good stuff. Stephen Ferguson, kind of notable because of the fact that he was a freshman last year. So he's won two championships his freshman and sophomore year in the Great Lakes Conference. And a lot of times a new league has to wait, you know, maybe a decade before they get a four-time champion. Well, Stephen Ferguson could do it in the first 4 years because, you know, he needs to win two more, and then he could be a four-time GLC champion. Stan Blake won his third championship. He's won both GLC championships, and he won one of the West Shore Conference titles, I believe, his freshman year. So he became a three-time champion, and Robbie Cobb won back-to-back championships as well.
So a very, very good showing. Nice showing for EC. Again, fourth out of seven teams with those four placers. And then during our opening segment, we talked about having Josh Lowe on last week as he previewed the state tournament, the team duels, and obviously a pretty good showing for the Elyria High Pioneers.
Yeah, it was a good showing for anybody who was on the outside looking in. The Elyria Pioneers will be the first one, you know, from, you know, start to finish to kind of say that that was not what they wanted. They wanted a better showing than what they did. And, you know, just simply it was two nationally ranked teams, Elyria and Massillon Perry in the state semifinals going at it. And you know, and we shouldn't probably gloss over the fact that Elyria had a very good start to that. In the quarterfinals, they faced Westerville North and won 60-11.
Dominated.
Yeah, just pins all over the place. So, you know, a lot of good showings, you know, all across the board from there. But going against Massillon Perry in the semifinals, there's 14 weight classes, 14 matches. Elyria won 7. Massillon Perry won 7, and it all came down to those bonus points. You hear coaches say over and over again how important bonus points are, especially in dual meets, because, you know, you only have the 14 matches to kind of build your point total. And Massillon Perry just had more bonus points and ended up winning that dual meet 31-27.
Sean, as you look at those matchups individually, class by class, and as you say, it came out 7-7, is there one that perhaps was an upset in Massillon Perry's way that kind of swung the tie, per se, and now they win it on the bonus? Is there one that kind of surprised you?
Not really a surprise, because, again, these are just such good level wrestlers. There were a lot of coin flip matches where you weren't sure who was going to win.
Right.
A couple notable ones for me was, like, Brendan Fenton at 120. He ended up winning 5-0 over Stone Tosh, and I don't really know a lot about Stone. He's probably a good wrestler. He's really good on bottom was the problem. Brendan built that 5-0 lead just seconds into the second period. He really seemed to be dominating on his feet. And then he tried to earn near-fall points, trying to turn Tosh onto his back. And he tried that throughout the second period. And he tried that for the entire third period. And the kid was really good defensively on the bottom. He wouldn't allow himself to be scored upon. So I was kind of surprised that, you know, the coaches didn't have Fenton maybe kick Tosh out a little bit and try to build, at least for the major. Honestly, if he would have kept going at it, he might even been able to tech fall that kid by just that strategy. So I was a little bit surprised there that Fenton only won by decision on that spot. So there's a couple of bonus points maybe left on the table there. Another match that was kind of could have been a one that really swung the match was Tristan Brady versus Joe Kuntz at 160. I think Kuntz was definitely the favorite there. He was nationally ranked. I think he's fourth in the nation. And he built an 8-0 lead after one period. So he was already majoring Tristan at that point. But Tristan had just a flurry in the second period and had Kuntz on his back. I think, you know, and I know just out of position, I think the official was. From where I was looking, I thought Brady could have scored a pin, but as the official was moving into position to see Kuntz's back, at that point, Kuntz was able to get that blade, you know, the shoulder blade off the back and keep away from the pin, you know. So, you know, if Brady, if it happens fast enough and the official sees it and Brady gets the pin there, you know, instead of Brady losing, which he did eventually 13-10 and losing 3 points there, Larry picks up 6 points and boom, all of a sudden they're into the finals.
There you go.
So, you know, that's the problem with these dual meets. It's just 1 second possibly right there could swing the entire match after you know, looking back at it. I mean, obviously there might have been the same type of situations where Perry might have had some points maybe missed because of the same type of things. And I don't want to blame officials. We have some of the best officials in the country here in Ohio. So, but just, you know, just a few things that I kind of said, oh, man, it was just like last year, the same thing. There was a couple moments in matches that could have swung it, and O'Leary could actually won that state title last year against St. Edward.
Again, Tim Elkhorn from WEOL, Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram, as we bring you the weekly wrestling recap. And we had a chance a couple of weeks ago to talk to Eric Burnett, the head coach of Elyria. And he talked about how if things don't go your way, that can really drive a wrestler. That can fuel a wrestler. And as you said, they get on the bus and head home, obviously not getting to the state duel where they wanted to be. Could that be a motivating factor for them now?
I think so. We talked to several guys after the match, and they all kind of talked about, you know, this isn't the end of the line. You know, they felt bad because they fell short, and there was some tears shed, and it was definitely some unhappy feelings there. But they all, you know, to a man, basically said, you know, we got a couple weeks here to get ready for, you know, postseason, get ready for sectionals. And Elyria is set up nicely because they are going out to Toledo Waite, you know, away from St. Edward. And this will be the first time I think I've ever seen them at a sectional outside. I've never seen Elyria win a sectional title because they've always been with St. Edward. So this could be a chance to, you know, for them to go out, put, you know, 12 to 14 guys into the district tournament. And then at the district tournament, it's just really St. Ed's and Elyria, the top two guns there, because a lot of the other nationally ranked teams up here are going to North Canton Hoover. So Elyria has a chance to put, you know, 8 to 10 guys down to state and do some big things.
So these guys from Perry, they go to Hoover.
Perry goes to Hoover, Brunswick, Wadsworth, Brecksville, which is one of the big, you know, juggernauts as well. Yeah, almost all the other top teams in Northeast Ohio are heading to Hoover, and St. Ed's and Elyria are going to be up here in Mentor with a lot of other teams trying to, like, pick them off here and there, because there are teams, still good teams there, and even the teams that aren't really kind of considered great teams, a lot of those teams still have one or two really good wrestlers. So
right.
They're all going to be trying to fill in those spaces, those 4 spaces to get to state.
All right. Good stuff. Again, Sean Bennett from the Chronicle-Telegram as he talks about wrestling down the road when we get to tournament time. Of course, one of Sean's good buddies in covering wrestling, a guy that I know pretty well as well, Brad Bornable, is going to join us during the next segment as we continue to look a little bit ahead on the wrestling scene. So stay with us. It's the Cobos Insurance Center Thursday Wrestling Recap. It's presented by Ohio Family Realty. So glad to bring it to you each and every Thursday night right here on AM 930 WEOL. On your phone, download the WEOL app. And we're online at WEOL.com. Welcome back. It's the Thursday Wrestling Recap on AM 930 WEOL, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Ohio Family Realty. Tim Elkhorn from AM 930 WEOL, along with Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram. Each and every Thursday, Sean drops by the WEOL studios to talk high school wrestling. And a guy that Sean knows very, very well, and as I said as we closed out the last segment, I've bumped into him a few times myself, Brad Bourneville, on the line to join us and talk a little high school wrestling. Brad, great to have you on AM 930 WEOL.
Good to be here. Good to be here, man.
Now, normally when I hear your name and WEOL, it's because you're eating all the food at the Medina County matchup during halftime of high school football. So it's good to have you on talking high school wrestling, Brad.
There you go. There you go. I like to be indoors late in the season. So
there you go.
It's better to be on the mats.
I bet there's food left over now because Brad, he's trimmed out a little bit. I don't think he's putting that food away anymore.
Yeah, lost 43 pounds.
43?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's covering this wrestling. These kids making weight kind of inspired you, right?
Yeah, me and Rob Polinski are having a little battle here, I guess.
He looks so good. He wears singlets to cover wrestling now.
There you go.
Well, it's great to have Brad on as we talk high school wrestling as part of our Thursday wrestling recap. And Brad, during the opening segment, Sean and I were talking about Elyria and the state duels this past weekend. As Sean said, they probably get on the bus heading home a little bit disappointed. Real quick, before we delve into other topics, your thoughts on how that unfolded?
Yeah, I've covered Elyria, the first month especially. I caught him at the Ironman. I've caught him at Brecksville. I've seen him at the Bill Dees tournament as well. And I know that they went in there thinking, they wanted to win the thing. Second place isn't good enough anymore for Elyria. And, you look at how that thing went down. I mean, bonus points. It was 7-7 in matches. It came down to bonus points. And Maslin Perry, you got to get to them early and you got to score bonus all the way through because up the gut, they're going to tear you apart. And they did. They won six matches in a row, scored 25 points off a bonus. So, I mean, that was just one of those ones where I know, look out for them in the individual state tournament because I know they're going to be looking at last weekend and wanting to kind of fix that a little bit.
Brad, we were talking about the split, this year. They're sending Elyria and Lorain and Amherst out to Toledo Waite and three other Lorain County teams out to Oregon Clay Sectionals. And even in the districts, it seems like Elyria and St. Ed's have to meet back up. But those are the two big horses out at Mentor where a lot of juggernauts are over at North Canton Hoover. That seems to me like Elyria might be in good shape to send almost double-digit down the state if everybody wrestles their best.
100% agree. I mean, if you look at that Hoover district, I mean, obviously, to me, Elyria and St. Edward are 1 and 2 at state. Maybe Liberty sneaks there, but I don't know. I just think Elyria's got way too many numbers for Liberty. But like you said, I mean, that Hoover district is loaded with pretty much everybody else from Northeast Ohio. So that Mentor district is seriously going to be a St. Edward versus Elyria Invitational.
And we were kind of talking too about upcoming stuff coming up in SWC and Midview. I know you covered them in several of the same events that you were talking about Elyria and we were also talking about Josh Lowe's state tournament predictions report coming out last week, and he's got four Midview wrestlers state ranked now. Probably the best I've seen out of that program since I've been covering wrestling. And just your thoughts on Midview and their kind of resurgence over this last year or two.
You have to love what Sean Bristow's done over there. I mean, and the thing is he's amped up the schedule as well. I mean, he knows he's got the horses right now, and you only get better by facing the best competition. I've said that all along. You see these teams that have, like, especially out west, back, 5-6 years ago, these Sandusky teams would come in with 56 wins, and you're just thinking, wow, and then they would go out in the second round. It's because you don't face anybody. He is not shying away from competition. He knows he's got Seth Frombaugh, he's got Alec, he's got Trevor Begin. I mean, he's got Spencer Berthold. He's got some studs. And the other thing about that, and a lot of people don't do this, and they really should, I'm a huge advocate for not having wrestling be from November to March. you know, USA Wrestling lets you go out to Fargo and lets you wrestle the best. And I've been out there. It's a 1,000-kid tournament. And, I mean, it is state champ after state champ after Penn State commit, after Harvard commit, after Cornell commit. Ben Darmstadt went out there, won the whole thing. Spencer Bernholdt has been out there the last 2 years. He is fantastic this year. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that he went out there and he wrestled Greco and he wrestled freestyle. And he's got more in his arsenal now, and he's also seen a lot, so he can defend a lot more as well.
Again, we're talking with Brad Bornival as he joins us on WEOL, part of our Thursday Wrestling Recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Ohio Family Realty. And, Brad, you rattled off a couple of Midview wrestlers there that have really had outstanding campaigns. Has there been anybody on that Midview squad that has kind of surprised you, that their success perhaps was something that you weren't anticipating?
You know what? Not really. And the only reason why is if you look at wrestling, they always talk about the ladder. Where there's a good 126, there's a good 132. Where there's a good 126, there's also a good 120. Because in the room, you're not slacking off because you're going against a kid who's kind of been there and done that. So if you look at especially those four names that I talked about, I mean, that's 160, 170, 182, 220. They're going against each other in the room, so they're only making each other better all the time.
Getting back to just kind of a question about Elyria, since you, like I said, you've covered them as well, and this one's specific to you because I know you've been there, and St. Edward, obviously everybody who knows wrestling knows the juggernaut of the St. Edward program, and it takes something pretty special for a team to, you know, have any success against St. Edward, let alone top them for a state championship. You were Matt's side when Wadsworth did it a few years ago. It's got to be like kind of a perfect storm of talent, luck, and just clutch performances, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, if you look at that year, that was 2010, Alfredo Gray beats Edward Kidd for fifth place, and that essentially is the match. So when you go down there, it's not all about Saturday. You really have to make sure you're getting it done right off the jump. I mean, it's not okay, you know what, Saturday night's going to be fine. We'll make it a duel. We'll try to beat them there. You have to beat them from weigh-ins on Thursday morning when to that last match. And I mean, you looked at, and it really was the perfect storm if you look back at that, because I think St. Edward had one more wrestler, but I mean, every match, Loudon Gordon needs to score bonus points against an Edge kid in the finals, and he pins with 1 second left. It was stuff like that. You have to have a lot of luck, but at the same time, you have to go in thinking that you can win it. It's not just that, well, you know, we're going down there and St. Edward's has won so many titles. They've won so many national titles. Hopefully we can hang with them. You have to believe that you can do it. And a lot of what happened with Wadsworth, if you remember the year before, they went down and they got to the semifinal round, and they had all these wrestlers, and they scored minus 1 points in that round. They lost every match and had a team point taken away from them. So I see a lot of Elyria. I see a lot of Elyria looking at that Wadsworth team. They've tasted defeat 2 years in a row down there where they thought they were going to, you know, maybe win the thing. So that, don't be surprised if that doesn't drive them here in about a month.
Yeah, that's a great point. As you mentioned earlier, and we talked about it earlier, you know, sometimes you have that motivating factor that can really fuel you as you get toward a tournament time, and it doesn't matter what the sport. And I, you know what, before we let you go, Brad, I have a question for you, because we talk about other sports, whether it's football, basketball, there's always a game or a match that you really look forward to, especially as you get towards tournament time. Man, I'd love to see this, or I hope this shapes up. Is there one in the back of your mind that you go, man, I really hope this happens at a district or a state level, where you're just saying, I'd love to see this match?
You know, I'm telling you, I'm rooting for Mick Burnett. I'm hoping he can get all the way through. I would love to see a Mick Burnett versus Julian Tagg final. Julian Tagg goes to Brexville. He's a national Fargo champ. He's a Walsh Ironman champ as well. I, you know, Julian wrestles, and so does Mick. Mick wrestles on the national circuit as well. But Julian's been winning like since he was like seven. So I would love for those two freshmen to meet in the final.
And that's 106, correct?
106, yeah. They met at the Bill D's final, and it was a tight match all the way through. Mick lost, I think, only by a point. So, yeah.
And like I've said in the past before, a regular season tournament, you know, is good, but when it's for all the marbles, just a little better. You want it a little bit more. You know, if you lose at a Bill D's final, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it is a big deal because you lost in a finals match, but at a state level, you know that is going to be a fantastic match.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, and how many times have you seen two elite wrestlers like battle and they're close matches, and one kid like loses all the way until the match that counts the most in the postseason, and then finally gets that win?
Happens all the time. Matt Coase from St. Edward back in like 2000. God, I want to say it was like 2000, 2001. Matt Delgai from Mayfield, I think, beat him three times in the regular season, but when it counted the most, Matt beat him at state.
Right.
There you go. Brad Bournival, great to have you on AM 930 WEOL. This was good conversation, and obviously, as Sean and I have talked about the past couple of weeks, man, we are really getting into the fun time of the wrestling campaign. Great to have you on and share your thoughts with us.
Good to be on. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Brad, thanks.
Brad Bournival joining us right here on AM 930 WEOL. All right, Sean Bennett, before we close things out with this week's edition of The Recap, quickly some things that are happening this weekend on the mat, and then what's coming up in the column?
Well, our last two conference tournaments involving our area teams are this weekend. Again, like I said, this will be the third straight week that we've had a conference tourament hosted in Lorain County, and Avon Lake will be hosting the Southwestern Conference this Saturday. So a lot of local Lorain County teams in that: Amherst, Avon, Midview, North Ridgeville, and of course the Shoremen. Vermilion will be competing in the Sandusky Bay Conference at Lakota High. You have to travel through two counties to get to that one. So, but I'll tell you what, there's several Vermilion kids that could do some good, make some noise in that tournament as well. So that's what we're looking for as far as weekend tournaments.
All right. And what's coming up in the column on Friday?
Well, I'm gonna have to talk about that SWC tournament, because I'll be out there Saturday covering it, and it's a tight tournament race right now. Olmsted Falls went undefeated in a dual meet season, and this conference, like most, gives a 50% split on dual meets during the regular season and the tournament performance. So if you go 9-0 like Olmsted Falls did in dual meets, and then and Midview went 8-1. And say Midview wins the conference tournament and Olmsted Falls finishes second, they split the title. Or say Midview wins the conference tournament and Avon or Amherst or somebody else wins second and Olmsted Falls finished third, Midview would win outright. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic when you look at that thing right now. So right now, Olmsted Falls is first at 9-0. Midview is 8-1. Amherst is right behind at 8-2. And then I think Avon and, you know, a handful of other teams are right there. So everybody's kind of looking to get that tournament half, and it's going to be a very interesting thing. So I'll break that down, and I'll be talking about Josh Lowe's, which I mentioned a couple times, state tournament predictions report. Got a lot of local guys ranked in the state right now heading into the postseason, and we're going to break down who's where and things like that. And I might even talk about some of the guys that, you know, have 30-some wins and only, you know, a handful of losses that didn't make the report that I maybe think really should have maybe been mentioned or whatever. So,
by the way, love the column last week with the awards. Yeah. That was fun. That was really good.
I was expecting some potential negativity, but no, I people all took that with tongue in cheek and thankfully have sense of humor. The wrestling community has a sense of humor.
It was really well done. Great job. And again, Sean Bennett's wrestling column tomorrow in the Chronicle Telegram. All right, that's going to do it for this week's edition of our Wrestling Recap, brought to you by the Cobos Insurance Center and Ohio Family Realty. Great big thank you to Brad Bournival for joining us. Sean Bennett, thanks to you.
Thank you.
Biggest thanks goes to you, the listeners. Hope you enjoyed this edition and every week's edition of our Thursday Wrestling Recap. We're glad to bring it to you each and every Thursday night on AM 930 WEOL, on your phone if you download that WEOL mobile app, and we're online at WEOL.com.